Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Stu Baca, and I'm a Gen X grown-up, and I support Gen X grown-up on Patreon, and you should too at patreon.com/GenXGrownUp.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X grown-up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X grown-up podcast listeners, to this episode 111 of the Gen X grown-up podcast. I'm John. Joining me as always is George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And you know, it wouldn't be a show without Mo here.
Hey, everybody.
In this episode, we review Marvel's latest big screen adventure, all about a team of ancient superheroes. Check out what's new in Apple's updated wearable timepiece and play a casual mobile puzzle game that just might get you in the mood to go camping. Before we get into any of those topics and more, it is time for my favorite part of the show, and that is fourth listener email.
Before you start that one, I'm just going to go ahead and say no to that last part of that teaser introduction.
You don't want to go camping, you're sure?
There's nothing that's going to get me in the mood to go camping.
Yep. George, for once, I am 100% with you.
Yeah. Only for once, not for twice, just
not
for
twice.
Once.
No.
That is enough. We always say there are one, two, and three of us. We all knew we would listen to the show. And if anyone else does, that's you. You're our fourth listener. And the fourth listener this episode is Ben P., a longtime listener and Patreon supporter over there on Patreon. Thank you so much, Ben. Ben writes in with a subject line, bidets and such.
Oh, Lord. Are we back in our home improvement episode rants again?
Well, man. Kind of, yeah. Well, we know what he's talking about. So here's what Ben had to say. Hey, fellas, as any longtime listener knows, your show has always been a welcomed one-hour escape back to the good old days. However, it's also like having good friends in the room giving you permission to not grow up too much. Every fourth listener knows that, but that's not why I'm emailing.
Uh-oh,
this sounds like a George problem. Let's see.
Why?
Every time they say there's more to it, it's always
but
George.
But that's not why I'm emailing. George fucked up. What is that about?
You know, we say we hear hoofbeats, you know, we think horses, not zebras, you know.
Wow.
Damn. Here's why Ben's writing it. I wanted to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the post-production. Everything from hearing Mo in my left ear and George in my right and John in the middle to the detailed show notes linking everything you've discussed. These small details that I'm sure take a lot of time greatly add to my enjoyment of the podcast.
Okay, cool.
Well, it wasn't ripping on George after all.
No, okay. It was zebras.
Yeah, I think you both owe me an apology. That's some bullshit.
I apologize. This time.
Okay.
This time. He wraps it up by saying, side note, I almost drove off the side of the road from laughing so hard during the bidet segment.
It was its own segment.
That's going to be a classic. That's going to be an art.
It may be.
When we're like 20 years from now, it's going to have a classic reel. That's going to be on there.
We made it. It's going to be the highlight reel.
Yeah.
We never top it. He wraps it up saying, keep up the good work, guys. Ben. Cool. Thank
wow,
you,
thanks,
Ben.
You're
right. It is a bit of extra work. I mean, Mo does all the show notes and cranks that out. George helps on all the research to get things together. And of course, the post-production and editing that you enjoy. It is a little bit more, but our fourth listeners are worth it as far as we're concerned. So we appreciate your writing in. We love it every time the fourth listener writes in. If you would like your email featured here on the show, it is so easy. Just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. We read every single one. And most of them, like Ben's, eventually make the show. Very well, with that good business behind us, it is time to jump into the body of the show right after this break. Stick around.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up, But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
Pressman turns your VCR into a doorway to adventure.
Which of you will own this famous Hollywood gorilla's tie tank?
I'd be 3,000!
9,000.
Oh, 15,000. I've got it.
It's not so fast, Charles. The treasure's mine.
We'll see. Let the game continue.
Pressman's new video cassette game with over 8 million different adventures. Doorways to Adventure. It's so much fun, it's wild. Also look for Doorways to Horror.
Let's get the ball rolling talking about media that we have been consuming since the last time we spoke. Of course, could be television or comics or books or movies or music, whatever it is. And George, I want to start with you. You checked out something that there's been a lot of anticipation for after many pandemic delays.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't know how many pandemic delays this one in particular had, but I know we all three saw it, as apparently the rest of the world did, because I saw a commercial yesterday on TV said number one movie in the world. And I was like, really? Does it need to be? I mean, I'm sure mathematically they're right.
Right, right. According to math, for this weekend, perhaps.
Yeah,
right.
So we're talking about Marvel's Eternals. Of course, mm-hmm. we were going to talk about that on this podcast as soon as all three of us got a chance to see it. Yeah, we could not talk about it. I think this is solidly in the C-plus category of the Marvel films. There's tons of Marvel Cinematic Universe films out there. They started back with that original Hulk film that was Ed Norton. That was the first Marvel Cinematic Universe film, and they've gone all the way now to Eternals, and there's a couple other ones that are coming up later on that are going to be interesting, like the Spider-Man back to home multiverse thing with Doctor Strange and all. But so I think the reason why I feel like this is a C-plus effort is because they fell into the same trap we've often talked about with DC.
Yeah.
They came out with the multi-person story first without first getting us invested in the individual characters or plot lines or anything. And they had too much to try and get us into. It's a comic that's not super well known, like a Spider-Man or a Captain America or any of those kinds of things.
I've never seen it. Never heard of it.
I think I read one or two Eternals books when I was a kid, maybe. That's as... I couldn't remember anything from them at all.
I think as a comic book, it was like an on again, off again. Like they would do a series and they would cancel it, then they'd bring it back and then they would cancel it. And
now, that being said, it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. They did a great job with the visuals. I thought they did a great job with the editing, except for the fact that they kind of went a little bit too Tarantino with the whole back and forth in time stuff.
Oh, the jumping through points in time.
I knew why they were doing it, because they were trying to hide stuff from the audience so it would be a bigger surprise later, right? Let's we're not going to show the main Eternal's death right now. We'll show it to you later when it's more impactful. And I get that, but I don't know. I felt like they never quite hit the mark dead center. It felt like they were kind of off target just a little bit. They hit the target, but they weren't in the bullseye.
George, I 100% agree with you on that, because it's...
Wow, it was, again.
Twice.
That's twice. Twice in one
podcast. In the first 10 minutes. Holy moly.
For twice, I agree with you. It wasn't a bad movie. You know, it had solid acting, great visuals, all that stuff. But like, I agree. It's like you didn't get invested in these characters at all. You didn't have time.
Yeah.
And it's seven of them, right? That's what I think it was. Some of them aren't even in the movie that long. It's hard to feel bad. I mean, I think they did as good a job as you could in that amount of time.
I think so. Yeah.
But they could have done. It could have been separated.
If you had other movies to set this up, this movie would be more impactful. That's what we talk about. That's what made the Avengers so successful.
Right.
You give me Captain America. You give me Thor. You give me all these other films ahead of it. And then, oh my God, they're all coming together in this big giant film. And it's enormous. And we know all the characters, and what's this guy going to do? And what's that guy going to do? And Iron Man this. And
yeah, skip all the background and go right to the action.
Exactly. You had not, they tried to weave the background in, but I don't think they had enough time to do both.
That might have been harder to do in this film, because kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy, this is a group. They didn't have separate origins. They kind of had the same origin. They arrived on Earth under one assignment, and then they disbanded after their work was done-ish, I guess, after the main bad guys. But I don't disagree that I felt the same way about it, that DC kind of feeling that I'm like, who are these people? Okay, I will accept that they are a big deal. What I did like was the historical interweaving, where you get to see them throughout time at different pivotal. They're in Egypt, or they're, you know, Sumeria.
Had kind of an Age of Empires feel.
That was cool. I did like that a lot, even though, you know, again, I wasn't invested in the characters. I had a feeling throughout it that if I was a bigger comic book fan, I would be more excited throughout. And I don't know if that's accurate, but knowing knowing that I'm not a big comic book fan. And I remember, George, when I asked you after you saw it, and I texted you, and you said, how is it? You said, a good effort. The ending credit scenes are awesome.
Yeah.
And I was eager for the ending credit scenes. And I'm like, wow, that looks like something that somebody's excited about, but I don't get it. I don't know who that's supposed to be, or why I'm supposed to be excited, or why is Patton Oswalt some kind of a weird dwarf? I don't know how to get it. I don't know what's going on. But I even turned to my friend and I go, I bet George is super excited about that, whatever it was.
Yeah. It was oddly enough that in that scene that you're talking about, that character, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody in case they haven't watched it, that character is more well known to me than the other characters. But yeah, it's because he had his own series for a while and he had more interactions with the other Marvel Universe people, as you could tell from some of the name drops that he did in that scene.
Yeah, he did.
Patton Oswalt did for him, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And John, you're right. I mean, but you look at Guardians of the Galaxy, I mean, they had four characters.
If you were to deal with. That's
right.
True.
Yeah. And also, it was probably better written. I mean, like, you learn the characters through the story, right? There was no flashbacks, really. There was no, you know, they did a great job of writing and building the characters through that. So, yeah, maybe seven's too many.
Well, four to seven or five or however many. With Guardians, they gave each one of them 5 minutes to tell a backstory and get us invested in that character.
You
kind of got
the mini origins, didn't you?
Star-Lord with his mother dying. You got Gamora and, you know, all the stuff with her sister and Thanos and whatnot. You got all the different characters had their own little moment. And as a matter of fact, John C. Reilly running them down the line when they were going into prison. Right. Yep. When he's giving that stuff, that just kind of cemented their backgrounds a little bit more. And they made those scenes funny. I think that might be the difference. Guardians of the Galaxy was humorous. Eternals
There was something
pure
else
drama.
To enjoy.
Yeah.
So,
And before I ask you for your rating and kind of what where you would grade this, I know you already said C plus, so I get an idea of where we're going with that. One thing I thought was interesting, I don't want to again give too many spoilers, it's a brand new film, but I was as not super immersed in Marvel as a lot of people are, even I could appreciate how what unfolds in this film completely changes the complexion of what was going on with Thanos. Like, it says, well, was he right after all? It turns out, maybe was he not the evil guy? Now, he didn't have good motives, but like, what he did actually caused the Eternals to need to get busy, right? Because when the blip ended. So, like, what did you think of that from a comic book perspective?
From a comic book perspective?
Well, as a comic fan, like, did that break things? Did it mess it up for you? You know,
no,
what did you think of
that? I mean, I don't think it did. I think you're right that it helped explain and give some more legitimacy to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's interesting that you bring up Thanos and that whole situation with Eternals, because even though the series came out a while ago, I just started rewatching again the What If cartoon series on Disney Plus. And the second one there is, what if T'Challa, the Black Panther, had really become Star-Lord?
Yeah.
And Thanos is a part of that whole storyline in several different ways. And the Thanos that's in that What If universe really gives you a different view and appreciation of Thanos. Thanos is the epitome of the best type of bad guy, because to him, he's the hero.
Right.
He's sacrificing everything. He's doing the worst thing imaginable just so everybody else can live comfortably.
For the greater good.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like he's willing to take that sin on himself
for everybody. Right. And, you know, if you don't think about it a lot, you don't see that. You just see big, bad purple chin guy who's wiping out half the universe. I think with the Eternals, we're going to start to see something like that with one of the characters. And again, no spoilers, but one of the characters who the three of us know kind of goes rogue a little bit, or, you know, does his Thanos-esque thing, you might say. As far as the movie rating, I think I would $5 Tuesdays is probably my AMC list rating. I think you need to see it in theater.
Yeah, that's true.
It is pretty.
It's visually striking. Yeah. It's very pretty. And I think the big screen lends to that. On our token system, 3.5, maybe. Okay, I'm trying to give it some extra benefit, because Marvel does a pretty good job of, if they don't hit it out of the park with one movie, other subsequent movies can pick the storyline up and
build
bring
upon.
It forward.
Yeah. So this might be bedrock that is moving us forward greater than it is its own thing almost.
Yeah.
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 Makes sense.
Okay. Nice. All right, Mo, I'd like to turn to you. I think you picked up on another new film, not in the theaters, but home streaming, right?
Yep. It's on Apple Plus. It's called Finch. It's a one-man show movie, basically, with Tom Hanks in a role. robot and a dog. I watched it because I was like, okay, it's Tom Hanks, right? I mean,
sure.
Going to be so bad, right? Robots, post-apocalyptic. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. It had enough little details. I'm like, okay, I have to watch this. I think it was a good movie, but to me, it was just so depressing. And it was like, so like, I didn't feel like the end of the movie, like, oh, that, I feel good. You know, I'm like, man, that movie kind of, I feel awful.
Can you give us like a little 30-second sure. premise of it? Because I know Eternals, everybody knew that.
Oh, that's true, true. Good point.
Seen 20 million trailers, but people are still trying to figure out what Apple Plus is. So.
Right, okay. So the sun apparently starts giving off like more radiation. They don't explain what happened or why, but essentially if you go into sunlight, it like will burn, like physically burn you, and there's lots of radiation. So it killed most of the population.
There's some kind of solar flares that burned off some of the ozone or something, right?
Yeah. And so Tom Hanks is one of the few survivors, and he has a dog, and it's like near future, I guess I would call it, you know, time.
Okay.
And he's building a robot to take care of his dog because he's dying.
Okay.
That's the thing, because he really cares about this dog, and he knows because of the radiation, everything else, he's not going to survive forever. So he says, okay, I have to make sure this dog's going to survive. So he builds a robot that'll take care of him.
Boy, Tom Hanks gets really attached to his side characters. I mean, first the volleyball. Now the dog.
Now the dog. And so the movie basically progresses with him like having to kind of like teach this robot how to be a person for the dog, I guess I call it.
Be companion to the pet.
A companion to the dog. Yeah. And the robot itself is self-aware and intelligent. So it's trying to learn, and it's almost like an adolescent, like sometimes it's like a little kid thing, like, you know, why kind of thing, and sometimes it has some, is able to pick up on some deeper meanings. But I mean, it was really well done. It was a good movie, but you know, I was just like, oh, I don't feel wonderful after end of this.
You're right, it wasn't uplifting. So I did watch this, and I had to tell you, I stopped about halfway through and took a break and watched something else, because I'm like, oh, I'm exhausted.
Yeah,
there wasn't anything, like there's not a light at the end of the tunnel that I'm expecting, you know, to get better necessarily. I have a different name for this movie. I would call it Tom Hanks is Mean to a Nice Robot for an Hour and a Half. That should be the name of this film.
Yeah.
He is constantly mean to this super sweet robot who's just trying to do what he's told. And never does he like really get nice to him until like right before he dies. And I'm like, in your deathbed, everybody's nice on your deathbed. Of course you're nice then. Like, he was kind of a curmudgeon. He was kind of, and he was like that in life. He said, you know, I didn't get along with people. I work better alone.
Yeah, he didn't like people. Yeah.
And so he avoided people. And for whatever reason, they go off on this road trip because it's going to get worse where they're currently living. And so they try to get to San Francisco. It was an odd buddy road trip with people that weren't buddies, and the road was pretty crappy and there was nothing to see along the way. It was an odd thing.
And he said, and Tom Hanks, except for one flashback, which was very short, he's the only human you see in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They didn't pay much for actors. That's for sure.
No. I mean, it wasn't bad. I told my girlfriend about it. She's like, oh, I have to see it. I'm like, wait a minute. Did you just hear what I said?
I just told you didn't have to see it.
She's like, no. Sometimes you need to have sad movies. I'm like, okay, that must be a female thing, I guess.
Wow.
I'm serious.
Mo just lost a girlfriend.
No, I'm serious, because I'm like, that's not for me. I go to movies to feel better about stuff. Yeah. You know?
What kind of a token rating would you give it, Mo?
I mean, I would give it a solid 3.5. I think it was a good movie. Okay. I definitely would not. You wouldn't be wasting your time seeing it. It's not a movie I would normally watch, I guess I would say.
All right. Fair enough. I mean, I don't want the time back, but it wasn't uplifting or.
Right.
I don't think I'll watch it again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think I've seen it.
Yep. So that's what I got. So please, John, you got something uplifting?
I think so. Yeah. So I found a new animated series.
Oh, cool.
That's on Amazon Prime, actually. So if you got Prime, you already have access to this.
Yeah, probably take me 2 weeks to be able to download it, but okay.
No, it doesn't work that way for you. You have broadband. It's different. Now, if they could email your packages, you'd be set, my man.
Right.
You know, I love adult animation. So this is a new series called Fairfax.
Mm. Oh, I heard that.
It's an animated show, and I think I'd stop short of calling it a funny show, though it is a comedy. It's more of a silly show. It's looking at the absurdities of modern Instagram clout culture a little bit. So the series centers around these four teenagers. They're all like 10, 11, 12, 13, like middle school age kids. And they all live in Fairfax, which I guess is a big deal area like around Los Angeles that's super into like hype mentality and Instagram fame and that kind of thing. Your avenue into it is the new kid that comes to town named Dale. And he comes from Oregon and he doesn't even have a phone. He doesn't have an Instagram account. And they're all like, oh my goodness. And he shows up wearing like khakis and a fanny pack. And they think, wow, that's so retro and throwback. And like, no, this is my real clothes. Oh, really? But he meets up with some friends. They move to Fairfax to take over a dead relative's vape shop, which is super appropriate for, you know, that kind of mentality. But they take that over. And then he founds one friend named Truman, who's like a young filmmaker kind of guy. And he's always trying to make the next great underground indie film. There's a girl named Derica, who's like a super activist for every cause that there is. It's a big deal. And then there's a young kid who is always looking for what's the latest drop, you know, what's the new hot, cool t-shirt, the next cool sneakers to get or whatever. And it's really kind of a look inward at why it's such a big deal for not just these kids in the cartoon, but I think a lot of young people that are very focused on getting the next thumbs up or the next like or whatever. It's a bit tongue in cheek, but it's also pretty easy to look at and go, well, that's kind of sad that that's a big deal. Like, so they have a teacher in the middle school. And at one point they went and visited a retirement community. And of course, instead of being open and friendly with the retirement community, they're looking for how can I leverage this on my Twitter? Oh. I can find an old guy who's a veteran and make a small film about him. Or I can find this woman that used to be an activist and find a cause to take over with her. And at one point they're trying to get away because somebody is after them. And the teacher says, I'll stop and pick you up if you'll give me a follow on Insta.
Oh, geez.
like that's the thing that motivates all these people. The animation style it's cute. It's very simple and kind of line drawn.
Like Bob Berger kind of simple?
Even less.
Really?
Okay. A little more scratchy a bit. I think it's an easy watch. There's only 8 episodes. The whole season is out, I think. You can watch the whole thing. They're short little 20-minute episodes. But what I found interesting was I watched it with my millennial daughter. So as we're watching it, and I look at her like, yeah, is that a big deal for you guys? She's like, yeah, kind of. Yeah, you're kind of chasing those likes or chasing those, you know, whatever.
Wow.
Even though my daughter's not as huge into it as they are. But I think it's interesting as Gen Xers, this show, to see how this is a kind of a snapshot or portrait of what's going on in the social community and how it distorts the lens for a lot of young people that we didn't have. And I don't think we follow it nearly as closely. And to see them, you know, in a cartoon, they magnify it and make it a bigger deal. So it's something interesting to check out. If you have Amazon Prime, you can already give it a look. It's not, it's not going to waste your time like Finch. You're going to come away from this feeling better about this than you did about Tom Hanks being mean to a robot. So you got that going for it.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to 2 readers about 1 book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show too. It helps more than you know.
Experience Panasonic CD sound. Portable compact disc players with sound so rich, so real.
And here we are into tech and toys, and I got a pretty big tech this time.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
So unlike you guys, I'm in the whole Apple infrastructure world. And
Cult.
Yeah, cults, whatever. And so I had an Apple Watch. Actually, I had an Apple Watch Series 1. So I had this watch for a really long time.
That's like years old, right? Like 5 or 6 years?
And it finally broke. Like I banged it against the wall one time too many. So I was like, oh, you need to get a new watch. Apple just announced a brand new watch that they just released, the Apple Watch Series 7. And yeah, I got it.
Oh, Lord. They saw you coming.
Yeah. Moe's watch just broke. Let's get them to buy another one.
Perfect.
Like phones, there's only so much you could. Like, I can't think of what they could add more to phones to make me want to buy a new phone. I mean, they get faster, the camera's better, blah, blah, blah. But that's really about it. There's no real big innovations anymore. Whereas, with the watches, it seems like they're adding a whole bunch of new biometric kind of stuff to it. Or, you know, you could measure your heart, your EEG. You know, it'll do your blood oxygen level, actually.
How's it doing that? Is it punching you with a needle? How's it checking your blood oxygen?
Yeah, I mean, blood oxygen is easy. I have 2 or 3 pulse oximeters here at the house from when my lung collapsed. They just use infrared light and they measure the veins in your finger. That's if you've ever been to the doctor and they put that little thing on the tip of your finger and it's counting your heart rate.
Yeah.
It's also counting your pulse oxygen. Yeah, it's pulse ox. So the pulse and the oxygen.
Yeah. And this new watch is actually waterproof. Well, they can't say waterproof anymore, right? Water resistant. You know, you actually can go swimming and stuff in it and it should be fine. And also these biometrics, like if you like go for a walk or exercise and all that stuff, it'll actually take your measurements to say, okay, here's how efficient that exercise was.
Right.
You know, how you burn calories, all that stuff. I don't know what much more they could add to it, to be honest. It's bigger, which is nice. It's always on, which is nice.
Yeah. I hated that about the Apple Watch. I liked my Galaxy that it was always on.
Yeah.
Because you look at your watch and you're like, it's off again. And you tap it or smack it or wheel your wrist.
Flip your wrist just right to make it come on.
Yeah, that's
good.
Yeah.
So it's always on.
So I guess they made the battery more efficient to be able to do that.
Right. And now it's not as good as the Galaxy Watch, which I know you can go a couple days without charging it, I think, couldn't you?
You can. I charge it every day. But okay. Yeah.
Well, this one, you definitely have to charge it. I mean, it'll go like a day and a half probably, I think, right now. You know, I charge it at nights like at 30%, but I charge it every night. The thing I kind of think like really a lot is the band. It's actually magnetic. And so it uses magnets to put the band on. So it's really easy to get on and off. And when it's on, it stays on. Hmm. I think that's like the coolest part, which of course you could buy this band for any watch, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, so John had bought me a long time ago one of the Galaxy Wear watches, like a version or two back at that time. And the band that I ended up getting was one that I looped through a little like hinge and then folded it back over. And when it folded back over, it snapped magnetically
to
the band itself. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right. That's pretty common. Some of the things that you're talking about, I'm not sure if Apple just put those in on the Series 7 or if they've been putting them in all along.
I think the last one had some of them, but
yeah, because they're pretty common. I watch another YouTube channel, Mr. Mobile. And so he does these watch and phone reviews all the time. He gets sent all the new stuff. He's one of the big players in the YouTube space for that stuff. And a lot of those things, it sounds like Apple is probably a little late to the bandwagon on, but they've probably perfected it a little bit.
They tend to iterate on it,
Right.
Well, that magnetic wrist strap probably sticks to your wrist so well because it's attracted to the Apple microchip in your wrist. You know, that's probably why.
I did get vaccinated, so
that's got
to
be it.
That makes a lot of sense now.
How much did you have to drop on this Series 7?
Oh, we have to ask that question.
You knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, it's $399 plus, above the base model. It goes to $430 change.
It's not unheard of for these brand new smartwatches.
Yeah. I know, but it's a lot.
As outlandish as you might have thought. I think it's outlandish in general for the watches for them to be those kinds of prices just across the board, but yours is not out of line with the rest of the pack, I don't think.
That's true. It wasn't an insta-buy, I'll say that, because I'm like,
Those prices across that industry are why I don't have one right now. The one I had, the battery swelled up and busted in it. I was trying to replace it, but I never got back around to putting it back together because I disassembled it really well.
That's the easy part, man.
Yeah. But I think that because for the ones that you want to wear, I mean, you can get sub-$100 smartwatches. But you miss out on a lot of the features you talked about, or maybe a battery length issue.
But they have sub-$100 features. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So until the industry as a whole comes down or my salary goes up, which neither one of those things is likely to happen anytime soon, I don't think I'm going to be getting a smartwatch. But I do, I'm happy that you were able to get one.
Okay, thank you. So that's what I have. So, John, you have an update on your Unraid, right?
Yeah, well, I said last time that one of the things I was looking forward to doing soon was, remember Levi had a response to George when he was looking at how to store stuff, how to store your media.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not one for going halfway on things. When I find something I'm interested in, I end up diving in deep. Well, I was very intrigued. The more I researched,
it's very interesting.
Yeah, the more I researched Unraid, the more I learned about it, the more I wanted to know. So I have started building out an Unraid server. Now, I thought I was really going to save a lot of money. Through no fault of Unraid, I've dumped more money in this than I expected to, because I had a really good older PC that had been my primary PC for like 6 years, had a Core i7 in it. I'm like, great, this is going to really handle everything I need for an Unraid.
Mm-hmm.
And halfway through getting my build and my data migrated over, the motherboard failed in this thing. So I've had to dump some more money. I thought I was cutting corners.
So it really had, your motherboard dying, you had nothing to do with Unraid, right?
Exactly. Okay, yeah, okay. I'm not, none of that has anything to do actually with Unraid. What I really want to focus on, though, is my experience so far with mm-hmm. Unraid and what I've learned. I know we talked a little bit about it, and, you know, George, you had some questions, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know the answers to those because I've not really played with it. But I've learned more now, and it's really, really cool. I'm not glad I'm spending the money, but I'm okay with the extra money that I'm having to spend. It's called Unraid because it isn't really a raid. For a raid, you really need redundancy. I need two drives for every, you know, right. If I have 2 8-terabyte drives, that just gives me 8 terabytes, not mm-hmm. 16, mm-hmm. because there's redundancy, you know? The concept, and I actually had to refer to a friend to get the details on what this meant, it uses parity across all drives to know what was on the drive. Mm-hmm. So you can have 4 or 5 drives, and a single drive is the parity for them, meaning it averages out the bits bit by bit on every single drive. Mm-hmm. It has a checksum on the main drive. And that way it can survive. Any one drive can fail, and based on that checksum, it can rebuild the one that failed.
Yeah. Whoa.
So this is a common thing in the SANs that I deal with at work.
Is it? Okay. Yeah.
Now, Unraid is a proprietary piece of software. It's built by a company. It's called Unraid. You
right. mm-hmm.
downloaded it for free and started using it. A lot of the corporate systems, like we use Dell and we use Hitachi and a few other okay. storage mm-hmm. systems, they do the same thing that you're describing, but just in their own ecosphere of software. So
gotcha.
My Dell data domains that work as storage devices for my backup service, on them, I have 50 or 60 drives, mm-hmm. and I probably have like 4 or 5 spares. They call them hot spares in the Dell language. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
So if any of my drives go bad, the spare kicks in, the drive is nullified in the system that it's not writable anymore, mm-hmm. and then later on, when they send me a new drive, I just take the old drive out, pop the new drive in, mm-hmm. and link it in the system, and it becomes a spare then.
Sure. Yeah.
So
yeah,
it sounds like that's what Unraid is based around.
A question I have, though, it sounds like the way you're describing it, though, is that if you lost a drive, you would not be able to get those files back until you rebuilt the drive?
If you lose the drive, you do want to have a spare standing by for when one fails. That's okay. right. Because it's not redundant, but when you throw the new drive in, you immediately have access to the material because it can rebuild. And for every parity drive you have, that's how many drives you can have fail simultaneously and survive it.
Okay.
So if I have 2 parity drives, I can lose 2 drives at once.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's kind of interesting.
So however many hot spares you have, that's how many drives you can lose.
That's right. They don't look at it as a hot spare per se. They look at it as here's the parity and you can use it when you're down a drive. As soon as you plug in a spare that's a cold spare, I guess, you have sitting by, it rebuilds and now it's a parity drive again.
But you still have access while you're on the other spare while you're getting
I
new
think
cold
so. No, I haven't had a drive fail yet, but that's my understanding. Yep.
Actually, yeah, you should be able to pull a drive out.
Yeah, I can pull a drive out and see. The other really cool thing about it that I'm enjoying, and you know, Levi touched on this when he was talking about it, is if you have a good CPU, which I do in this box, you can run containers, you can run VMs, you can run Dockers, and they have an amazing Docker app store. I just clicked on, hey, I want to run an instance of Sonar, and boom, it takes about 30 seconds, it installs, and you're logging into Sonar. You know, I want to do a jacket, right? I want to do a file manager, all these different little apps that install in these small container Dockers that you can run as apps to manage your media or do extra stuff. It's like its own little like Google Play Store or Apple App Store, you know, all these things that someone else has curated and built that you can just plug in and start using, which is pretty darn neat.
Yeah, they're like miniature purpose-built devices.
They really are. Yep. Yeah. They sure are. Yeah. So it has been a great deal of fun. I'm not done. Obviously, I'm waiting for some new equipment to come in to replace this motherboard. Some of my media is offline. I didn't lose anything. It's just the inconvenience. So I have been having to dump some money into it. It's like a boat. There's always something more to buy. They provide a concept of cache drives, which they recommend you do SSDs. That's nearline. So as stuff comes in and out, it's really, really fast. And then when it runs a service every once in a while that moves that onto your actual storage drives without any slowdown or performance.
Okay. So how do you put multiple drives in your device? Like how's that? Because they only have so many bays normally. So how does this work?
Well, you have as many bays and slots as you want. So I bought a box that will house up to 10 3.5-inch drives.
Okay, so you bought a separate box that holds your drives. Yep. And then that connects to your computer.
And I bought a PCI card that will give me 6 more 6 gigabit per second SATA connections.
Got it.
Yeah, as many as you can plug in, it can manage. The base configuration is 22 drives. I'm only going to have about 6 as I get started here.
But that's cool. So actually, normally with 6, you'd have the equivalent of 3 drives of storage, right? And they're
right.
traditional.
But in this case, yeah, as soon as 4. I get past parity, every new 8 terabytes I add is 8 full terabytes.
Right.
Just by migrating to Unraid, I'm increasing my storage by about 40%.
Yeah, that's the part I really like. Yeah, that sounds cool.
So I'll keep you updated as I go through this journey. I know that you wanted the free research of me doing it first and finding out the mistakes that I made.
Yep.
I've certainly made several, so I can help you out there. But I want to move over to George. You're also having some computer experimentation and problem woes, aren't you?
Well, I wasn't experimenting.
Oh.
My shit just broke.
What?
So...
What shit are you talking about?
Well, you had said an update came and messed up some monitor outputs, right? We thought.
I don't think the update actually caused the issue.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, I had a Windows 10 update right before Windows 11 came out. It rebooted my system overnight, like I generally do. I woke up the next morning, logged into work, and only had one monitor and couldn't figure out what was going on. I've done a lot of work and research since then to figure out that my particular AMD Radeon card has four outputs on the back of it. It has three display ports and one HDMI port. Of the type of card that I have, this is a specific variant that only apparently one vendor had. So how the company Skytech got it, I no idea.
Blind coincidence.
When I logged in, only the first display port was actively sending out a signal. Display port 2 and display port 3 were not sending out a signal at all. I moved cables around, did all the typical power it off, power it back on. I tried to uninstall the update to see if that was the issue. I even early on went to Windows 11 to see if that would help, and nothing did. Finally determined that, yes, the ports have just gone bad on this video card.
What?
So that sent me into working with the company, Skytech, who I bought the PC from, because... the entire computer and all of its components came with a one-year limited warranty. If something breaks, you get a replacement from them. And that's where all the fun really began. So I did a bunch of troubleshooting through email and their little chat thing, which was only available Monday through Friday during business hours. We eventually worked out the same thing that I did, that yes, two of the four ports are bad on this system.
What?
Oh my God. So now their recommendation is that we replace the video card. Yay! Let's replace the video card.
Sounds good.
That makes simple.
They have them?
Well, I don't know if they have them or not, but the whole reason why I don't know if they have them is because when I said, okay, let's do that, they said, okay, you have to take your video card out and send it to us.
Well, it leaves you without any video out. Or maybe one out on the motherboard or something, right?
Well, that's why there is an HDMI slot on the motherboard. But apparently, because this is a gaming PC and
The CPU doesn't have it supported, I bet.
Support or something. So no video out that I would have if I take this card out of the machine. I'm like, okay, how long does your RMA process take? It takes about 2 weeks. Well, in IT world, we all know that means four fucking weeks. So fuck you on your 2 weeks, first of all. I'm like, okay, so I have to send my card in first and then you'll send me the card back. And they're like, yes. I said, okay, well, I can't be down for 2 weeks on this PC. I use it for work. I work remotely from home. I really don't want to go into the office five full days if I don't have to because of equipment. Right. So what can we do? What if I give you a credit card and you can put a deposit or even the whole amount of a video card and then ship it to me first and then I'll send you the one back.
Right.
That way you have no physical financial issues.
There's no risk. It's an advanced RMA. Yeah, you're taking all the risk. That's fair.
Nope. That's against our company policy. What policy is your company have against taking money? That's what I want to know.
Basically, ask him to sell you a card and take this one as a return.
Yeah. And refund me when I give you the old one back. Yeah.
I thought that was a great way. So Skytech has brought me to the conclusion that the next time I get a PC, whether I build it myself or I get a pre-built, I'm not going to go with one of the smaller companies. As good as the deal might be on the components and all the stuff included on it, the issue that you have is what I'm facing now. They're a small company. They're operating on very narrow margins, apparently, and that affects their customer service whenever there's an issue.
So maybe they just don't have pockets deep enough to take little risks that seem like no-brainers, but they're so risk-averse because they're small, maybe. I hadn't thought of that.
As much as I hate to say it, this will probably, on the next PC that I get for either a family member or myself or whatever, I'll probably go to one of the bigger companies.
Go somewhere else,
which I don't like to do because we all know the bigger companies suck.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get substandard components for the same price. That's one of the reasons why I like Skytech, because all the components were A1 top tier. Just so happened that mine happened to be a bad one. That's okay. That happens. But the way that they've handled the customer service.
But not being able to support you the way that you needed. Right.
I just feel like that it's a big loss on their part. So I am actively telling our listening audience, I wouldn't buy from SkyTech. As much as I like the PC.
Or look at SkyTech and see what their PCs are and build your own off of their specs, maybe.
Well, that's the thing that we talked about before, though. The problem is they do get some kind of bulk discounts, so they're going to get a cheaper price on the pre-built than you can do yourself. That's what I found, and that's why I bought this PC. Yeah. Just once you're locked into their customer service system, that's when your headache's going to begin if you have to call on them.
If you have that problem.
Wow. Sorry to hear that, man.
That's all right.
So what's your timeline look like now? Have you shipped off a card? Are you waiting on a new
one?
What's happening?
I've bought bubble wrap.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry it happened. Hey, I wish you luck in getting that return fast. Yeah. Do you have a contingency plan? You have a temporary video card or something you're going to use to keep you working? Or?
I kind of do. So I've forgotten that on my old PC, I had bought one of these little USB to HDMI connection things.
Oh, you could do that temporarily. Sure.
Yeah. So I won't be able to do any gaming on it, obviously,
it's not gonna be very fast.
You know, or anything like that. But at least I can.
You got an output.
Connect to work.
You can see the damn screen at least.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, I wish you luck in a quick recovery to get that turned around for you.
Yes, sir.
You too.
All right. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at genxgrownup.com.
Where is the Loch Ness Monster from? What was the name of those Brooklyn bombs? If you know first, then you're the one. Set of the century. It's a game you play right on TV with an electronic referee.
What temperature makes water freeze?
Sale of the century!
It's Sale of the Century! A game with questions, buzzers, prizes, just like on TV.
Sale of the Century!
With Quizzard, the electronic referee.
This is the main event of the podcast. For the three in attendance locally and the millions listening around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time! Three rounds in the GXG Gaming Division.
All right, gentlemen, let's get into the game segment. I'm going to start us off real quick because there is a new sale that's out there. I had just listed it on our Trello card that we use for organizing our podcast. Mm-hmm. And 5 minutes later, we had people talking about it in our Discord channel already.
oh, really?
Look how popular you are.
A couple episodes ago, you guys will remember that I said, you know, every now and then I'm going to talk to our listeners about sales that are coming up about interesting games and bundles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Humble Bundle, the people who we give all kinds of kudos to, but never give us any props or advertisements or anything. They have a new bundle out for an old 80s video game collection called Leisure Suit Larry.
Oh my God.
That lecherous little pixelated dude.
Yeah. Did either of you guys play Leisure Suit Larry? I know I did.
I did.
You did?
Yeah. Only peripherally. I don't know if I ever finished one, but I think we all played one because it's like, ooh, we might see pixelated boobs. Let's watch it. Let's try it.
That was the whole draw of the whole series, right?
It was
very sexualized and innuendo and everything.
Looking for love in all the wrong places.
Exactly. So they have the Leisure Suit Larry collection as a bundle going right now. There are two options. You can get the 3-item bundle, which has the first three games in it for $1, or you can get the 9-item bundle, which has the whole series, all 9 games in it, for $10.
Holy cow.
I mean, yes, it's an old game. Yes, it's not worth 50 cents maybe, but for nostalgic purposes, it's worth almost everything. So $10 for 9 of those games, just to have them on your Steam collection, it's kind of worth it, I think, if you enjoy
it. Do you want to play them? Maybe you just want to play with them. Like, remember an experience, right? It's like, oh, I remember how this worked. That was cool. Let's play a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was kind of in that same pointy, clicky thing. Like, what was that game that we used to play with
Guybrush Threepwood? Monkey Island or Day of the Tentacle, one of those things. Yeah, Maniac Mansion.
Kind of in those same veins, that same style. I enjoyed the Leisure Suit Larry stuff. I think I played three or four of them before I gave up on the series. But if you're interested in a cheap, fun way to enjoy your afternoon with some 80 NC-17 nostalgia.
that's about what it is, NC-17.
That Leisure Suit Larry collection is available to you on Humble
Bundle. At worst, yeah. I don't know if it's even the... I think it's just... It barely reached R, but yeah.
Yeah, no.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk a little bit about.
Cool.
Mo has no games to talk about, so we're just not even going to speak to Mo, and we're going to jump right over to John. Mo. John, you have some game that you said in the introduction would make me want to go camping, which is not really possible.
Give it a shot. Give it an open mind. We'll see. Not that I want you or need you to go camping. It's just the theme of the game. So, so I found another really interesting mobile game. So this is both on Google Play and Android and also on Apple for iOS. Mm-hmm. It's called Tents and Trees Puzzles. Now I just call it Tents and Trees. I don't know why the puzzles is tagged on the end. It's by a little company called Frozax. And this little game is like if you put into a blender Picross, Minesweeper, and Sudoku and kind of blended them up. And instead of numbers and math, it's little tents and little trees on a grid. So the concept is this. You get a grid like 5x5 or 7x7 or however big it is, and you have some trees scattered around. It's a campground and there are trees. And there are certain rules, like every tree must have one tent adjacent to it. No tents can be adjacent to one another. And you know on the sides of the grid how many tents or trees are in that column or row. So you get like a little logic thing, mm-hmm. like it can't be here because then it would be next to this one so you can eliminate them. So you either put down a little patch of grass to say that we know this one's clear, or you put down a little tent because you know there's a tent there. So it's a little puzzle solver, and each one takes 30 seconds to solve, probably. Now, they get progressively harder and longer. You know, they get 7x7 grids. Then it goes up to like a 15x15 grid, which I can't imagine.
Oh my God.
How many. I'm only up to like the, I think, 7x7 now. Mm-hmm. The art style is kind of that, kind of a blocky, almost like a Minecraft look, like the trees are a little bit blocky and pixely a little bit. It's sitting on a grid. The game itself is completely free to download and play. So on top of the game, which I recommend, I think it's fun to play and you might enjoy it, I appreciate how they monetize the game. So it has the typical thing that you'll see. There are ads which will pop up after you finish a level, right? Not interrupting your level, but at the end it'll pop up and, oh, they'll watch this quick ad and then you can continue. And the way you unlock new levels is by spending coins that you earn naturally throughout the course of the game. But for just 99 cents, you can eliminate all ads. And they'll give you 100 coins. Yeah. And I took that option because I like the game right away. Yeah. Because I didn't want to see the ads. The other thing I like about it, you remember the sand mixing game where you had the test tubes and you had to put the right colors of sand in it?
Oh, yeah. Those ones where you have like so many spaces that you can use and you have to shift stuff around. Yeah.
Yep. You remember that game had a thing where if you got stuck, you could watch an ad to get an extra test tube so you could make the game easier. So they have that model here. After you get rid of ads, if you want to multiply the coins you earn, watch an ad. If you don't want to, don't do it. No requirement. So I was happy to pay them the 99 cents and unlock the ads. On top of that, though, another reason I wanted to call them out was because the customer support that they had. Mm-hmm. Unlike you, George, I had a problem with this app, and I got really good customer support from the guy over at Frozax, which I'm guessing is a single developer, most likely a single guy. I paid the 99 cents to get rid of all the ads, and I was still getting ads. So I left a 3-star review that said, I really like this game. I paid to eliminate the ads and they're still popping up. If that gets fixed, I'll give it a 5-star review. And within the hour, I got an email from the developer and said, hey, what problem are you having? Ask me a few questions. Can you send me a screenshot of this? Let's see what's happening. He's like, I'm not sure. Here's another code for another 100 coins. Let's see if it works this time. And he went back and forth with me about 4 emails until it was working properly. And I ended up with more than I paid for. So nice. I support not only how good the game is and how unintrusive the ads are, but the fact that this developer is so engaged. And by the way, I did follow up and leave him that 5-star review because he earned it. The game is fun and it's great. So that's what I wanted to talk about. So before I get out of it, though, let's see. Do you feel any more like going camping now that we're talking about tents and trees? Nope. Still didn't work. Nope.
But I might play the game.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you feel any more like playing this game, though? Okay, that's good. That's really...
Yeah, so John actually clued me into this game earlier today, as a matter of fact. and I am now in the second batch of puzzles. It does remind me a lot of Minesweeper in the sense that you're looking at squares and you're like, can't be, might be, has to be, you know, that yep. way you used to do like in Minesweeper.
For sure.
And I like these logic games. Is it the logic is very simple, the rules are simple, but mm-hmm. I can see how the it's deductive reasoning that, you know, yet sometimes you have to look at the negatives to figure out what the right answers are. I love these kinds of things. I think it's a great game.
Yeah. Well, George, last episode you talked about that Basketball Forever that was just mm-hmm. so easy to pick up, quick play, put down. You didn't feel super invested. And that's how this is. As soon as I get stuck, I'm like, oh, I'm done. I'll come back to this later. And inevitably, I do. So,
there you go.
Yeah. Tents and Trees. Check it out on your mobile device. I don't think you'd be disappointed, and a good developer to support. I recommend it.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
Those who have waited and waited can now see the light. For Toyota introduces a car close to perfection. The all-new 1987 Toyota Camry. Camry gets more power to pass from a new 16-valve fuel-efficient engine, a quiet, more comfortable cabin for five, and more of the Toyota quality that has made Camry the most trouble-free new car, domestic or import, sold in America.
Who could ask for anything more? Toyota.
Before we wrap up the show, we always like to take a few minutes here in the last segment to talk about the things we are looking at right now and enjoying or looking forward to between now and the next time we get together to speak. And George, why don't we get started with you? What do you have on the horizon?
Yeah, first thing that I'm looking forward to is getting a functioning video card. I think that's something that is very important for me
right
now.
That's high on your agenda.
Yeah. second thing is a movie that is coming out on November 19th. It stars Will Smith and it's called King Richard. And it's a fictional biopic about the Serena and Venus Williams, the tennis playing sisters.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
And how they came up and
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it because Will Smith always does a really outstanding job with these biopic films. You look at his Ali film and you look at the one that he did called Pursuit of Happiness that I still cannot go back and watch this day because it makes me too sad.
Like Finch.
The third thing and most important thing that I'm looking forward to right now is another movie comes out on November 24th. It's called Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City. So it looks like they're trying to start a new franchise of the Resident Evil movies. I see and hear John groaning. I actually enjoyed the Resident Evil films. I didn't play the games that much.
The
films were popcorn fare at best, but they were a fun 100%. Distraction for an hour and a half.
Yeah,
for
me. I can't quit those movies for some reason. Like if there's a new Resident Evil one, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. So I don't think this is PTS and it's not what's her name again, it's new actors,
no Mila Jovovich in it or anything.
So you know she's off doing her Monster Hunter thing. I think she's
I saw the trailer for this. It just looks so much like the video game. Like is there a movie in there anywhere?
I don't care.
That's what you're looking for in the film. Maybe that's what you want out of it.
Looking forward to it. You don't have to crap on my looking forward to thing. You got your own looking forward to things.
Well, you can crap on my stuff then if you want. Make it fair. Okay. So I'm looking forward to continue working on the Unraid system, a new project like this, a new experiment. It's kind of a long tail on it. There's just time to move over terabytes of data, but I'm having fun playing with the platform and doing more research. So I'm definitely going to be diving more into that when my replacement parts arrive. Thank you, Newegg. There's a new film that I saw is on its way coming November 24th on HBO Max. I came out of left field, never heard of it, called 8-Bit Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
This has Neil Patrick Harris, and he's recounting to his family the story of the Christmas that he wanted a Nintendo Entertainment System and all of the how everybody was clamoring for it and how the kids were fighting about it. And there's a part in the trailer that grabbed me that said, OK, now I'm in. Even though I was a bit old for the NES, I think we all kind of were. We were all into either college or late high school by the time the NES came around. And like my girlfriend's little brother was the NES guy, but I can relate to wanting how bad I wanted an Atari. And I could map that onto this. this. There's a spot in the trailer where he's talking about, you know, I was going somewhere on my bicycle, and there's a picture of him, and like he's got this cloth beanie, and he's riding down the street, and his daughter says, "You wear a helmet, right?" He's like, "Oh, of course." And ding, the helmet is on the kid in the flashback. He's revising what his childhood was actually like so that his kids will behave and think that he wasn't a renegade. But it looks really cute. 8-bit Christmas. And the most important thing that I'm looking forward to, coming on the heels of our backtrack just last week, Ghostbusters Afterlife is coming out November 19th. That direct follow-up to the events of Ghostbusters 1 and 2, ignoring all the cartoons, the 2016 film. It looks so good. I mean, if you want to know more about our thoughts about it, go back and listen to last week's backtrack. But I already have my tickets for Thursday night, and I'm eager to see it. I know we're going to be talking about it next time we get together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, how about you, man? What do you got coming up?
Let's see. So we have yet another Disney Marvel series coming out, Hawkeye, November 24th, which
it could be
good. It looks like it's a little lighter fare, tongue-in-cheek kind of stuff. And so I'm all for that. So there's also one that's coming on Netflix November 19th. Live action Cowboy Bebop. I really like Cowboy Bebop. I watched it back in the 80s. I have very low expectations for the live action version, but
yeah,
I could be surprised.
I'm
hoping for that is better than I expect it to be. So low expectations there. But what I'm really looking forward to is Blade Runner Black Lotus, a new series that's coming on November 14th.
Really?
It's basically, it takes place some years before the second Blade Runner movie.
Okay.
A woman wakes up, and it's kind of a typical, wakes up, like, no memories, but, you know, has some skills and that kind of thing. And she's trying to track down, and her only clue is that she has a tattoo of a Black Lotus on her.
This sounds really interesting to me, Mo. What network or thing is this on? Is it on Apple Plus or HBO Max?
This is kind of weird. It's on Cartoon Network. It's part of the Adult Swim.
That's an odd fit. Okay, Adult Swim. I could see that.
You said it was animated, so okay.
Yeah,
Cartoon Network. Right. I mean, that shouldn't be that unusual. It's Cartoon Network.
I wouldn't expect, like, I'm assuming it's going to be pretty dark and gritty like Blade Runner always is. But, you know, Adult Swim, so maybe that's what it is. But it looks great. The trailer looks awesome. Obviously, I'll put a link to it. But, you know, I'm a huge Blade Runner fan, as you guys know, so I'm just hoping that this just adds another awesome layer to the whole thing.
Well, I wish you luck between Cowboy Bebop and Blade Runner on Adult Swim. Who knows what you got coming?
Yeah, really.
All right, that is going to wrap it up for this edition of the show. Before we leave, I want a quick shout out and thank a couple of new, or returning, I might say, supporters over on Patreon. Keith S. was a longtime supporter. His membership lapsed, but he re-upped just last week. Thank you again for coming back. Thank you so much for your support.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
And I think just a couple of weeks ago, I welcomed Mike Coe as a new patron at the $10 level. He's already up to the $25 top tier just because he's so enthusiastic about the show.
Wow.
Nice.
Thank you so much. I mentioned Mike already is over on Discord and really contributing over there. So your generosity and everyone who supports us, whether it's over on YouTube as a member or on Patreon as a patron, thank you for your support. It really, really keeps us going, means the world to us. That is going to do it for this episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks, of course, but next week is our backtrack. It is going to be the return of a very popular episode we had for the first time last year, our Geek Gift Guide for 2021 this time around. It's the time you're going to be Christmas shopping. You're looking for gifts for fellow geeks and nerds. And we're going to break it down. We'll have different price tiers, regardless of what your budget is. Some good ideas that you might be looking for or hadn't thought of for the geek in your family or in your immediate circle. I hope you will join us for that one. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know, I appreciate you, buddy.
Always fun, man.
Fourth listener, it's you. We all three appreciate most of all, though. And we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X Grown-Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.
No more washing shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Oh, wait, hold on. I don't want to start yet.
Uh-oh.
What happened? I'm just kidding.
What?
Is this on? Is this on HBO or Apple Plus? Or?
Oh, shit. I don't know. Hold up.
Damn it, Mo.
I just threw it on my list to grab it.
Oh, right. We just put it in sonar. Who the hell knows?
Hit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.